This morning I want to start off by just asking you to take a 5 to 10 seconds and just think to yourself, why is God referred to as God the Father? Although God is the King, He's the ruler of the universe, God is our Father, God the Father. Why do you think it's like that? It's simple actually, because a father and his children has a good relationship. There's a relationship, there's love, there's unconditional love, and there's a relationship, like I said. When Jesus was asked by his disciples, how should we pray? He said, pray like this, our Father in heaven. Our Father in heaven. And if there was anyone who understood God's love for his children, it was Jesus, the Son of God. Jesus understood the relationship and the love that God has for us as a father. He didn't say to them, you must pray like this, oh, holy and untouchable ruler of the universe up there in heaven, you are so far away and so holy, holy, holy. You know, he didn't. He said, our Father in heaven. And that's significant. If you get this, you get my whole message in the first 5 minutes, but don't switch off yet. You see, when I prayed about this morning and what God wants to tell us this morning, it immediately came to my heart that I must speak about his father heart. And up until 6.5 months ago, I don't think I could have been able to do it in a proper way, because on the 14th of October last year, we were blessed by our boy James. He was born. And for the first time in my life, I can truly say that I understand unconditional love. I thought I knew it beforehand, but I didn't. James changed everything for us. You know, small things like, before he was born, I could never even get close to a dirty nappy. Now it's easy. It's my boy. He's in this comfort. I will do anything for him. You know, beforehand, I would probably have died for my wife, Lizelle. I love her that much. I would die for her. But, sorry, Laparat, I had to think about it before I decided to do it. And with James, it's different. Without a doubt in my mind, I can confidently stand today and be honest with you and say that I will die for him now. I won't need to think about it. If anyone comes in here and I must decide between myself and my son who will live, he will live. Because that's my love for him. He's only 6.5 months old, but already I love him with all my heart, with all my being, and I will do anything for him. You know, there'll never be a day, trust the Lord, that there'll never be a day that he lacks anything from me. You know, I'll prepare to say I'll sell my golf clubs to buy him milk if I have to. And that's a big statement coming from me. But I will. And I can tell you this morning that he can do nothing. Listen carefully. James can do nothing to make me love him less. He can do nothing to make me love him less. He can vomit on me. He can do what he wants. He can keep me up all night. But I will not love him less. And again, that's exactly God's heart for us. That is a father's heart to his children. He cannot love us any less. Amen. Okay, first scripture, just to remind all of us who we are. Galatians 3 verse 26. For you are all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. So all of you sitting here this morning who believe in Jesus Christ, who believe with your heart that he came to die for our sins so we can go to the Father as his children, you are sitting here, you are a son and a daughter of God. Makes you his child and makes him our father. Okay, so we're all on the same page here. We're all children of God. Then we can move on. Why do we say that? Romans 5 verse 8. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You see, God is just not a God and a father who just speaks. He acts on what he acts on it. You know the saying that action speaks louder than words? This is exactly that. God demonstrated his love for you and me by sending his own only son, Jesus Christ, to die for you and me while we were still sinners. Now, until I became a father, it made sense to me, but also not completely. If I think about my boy, and if I have to think of giving him up for anyone else, I would stop thinking about it right away. But if I have to think about it and entertain that thought, I will have to think carefully who would be worthy of that. in my family, in my friendships. And I don't think I can get to anyone. But what God did was even more significant. If I think about the drug addict sitting in a bush somewhere at this very moment, or the alcoholic out there, and I have to give up my son to save him, who I don't even know, it's madness in my mind. And you must be thankful that I'm not God, because I would not have sent my son to die for sinners. But he did. He showed us how much he loves us. He did the ultimate thing of sacrificing his only son to be beaten up and be crucified for you and me. Demonstrated his own love for us. You see, I challenge myself, and I want to challenge the fathers in this house this morning. My challenge to myself is that James must know that I'm his father by the way I love him. Not because I look like his father and he knows my voice from birth. He must know that I'm his father because the way I love him. And that's how we must know God is our father, the way he loves us. And he showed his love for us through Jesus Christ on the cross. He made it real. He made it alive. He demonstrated it to us. Another verse, Romans 8, verse 14. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. You still don't believe, until now, you haven't believed me this morning, that you are a child of God. If you are led by the Spirit of God, you have received Jesus into your life, we are children of God. God is our Father. This morning I'm speaking to all of you as children of God, as my brothers and my sisters in Christ. So please bear with me. Okay, just some qualities that are listed of a good father. And the list can go on and on and on for God. I just highlighted a few that in my mind that would stand out as qualities of a good father. First, loving, caring, compassionate, patient, forgiving, and gracious. There's a few qualities that are highlighted about the good father and also about God the Father towards us, his children. Now, I'm not a full-time pastor here. Most of you will know that. Andre is the pastor. He'll be back next week. So if you don't enjoy my message this morning, please come back next week for Andre's teaching. But bear with me for the next few minutes. I'm a forensic accountant by occupation. I work for a bank. I investigate fraud. I try to prevent fraud from happening. And what is an example of what I do in the industry to prevent fraud. Just quickly, a photo. It's an ID document of a Mr. Kumalo. Just quickly look at the photo. And you can show the next slide. That's Mr. Kweyama. And if you look carefully and compare the two next to each other, it's exactly the same person on both IDs. Scary, but don't worry, Capitec Bank, you're safe. I'm investigating it, I'm just joking. But what happened here was this same person used 3 or 4 different ID documents to get different loans from the bank, defrauding the bank because the bank didn't know this guy is a fraudster. So we found out about this. It's very simple from here. I take these ID documents with a photo, I send it to all the branches in the Eastern Cape, and I say to them, put this photo up in your back office. Warn your staff about this guy. He's a fraudster and he's a thief. So when he comes into the branch the next time, you phone me or you phone the cops directly, and he gets arrested in the branch and goes to jail. So this person will never, hopefully never, defraud Capitec Bank again. He's exposed. And this morning it's my duty to come and expose the lies of Satan about our Father God in heaven. In the very same way I want to do this morning, because if you read in John 8 verse 44, he speaks to the Pharisees here and the unbelievers. He says, you belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Okay, that's Satan. Satan can never tell you the truth. Satan is the father of lies. Lying is his native language. Afrikaans is mine, you can probably hear that. But lying is Satan's native language. So when you are thinking about God, the Father, and the following qualities come up in your mind: unloving, he's a non-caring father, he's condemning, he's judgmental, he is impatient with his children, and he is unforgiving. If you think those thoughts, I want to tell you this morning, it's the devil telling you lies. about Father God in heaven, our Father, because a real father is not unloving and not non-caring and not forgiving, because it doesn't make sense in my mind. God the Father doesn't make us sick. Man, if the thought of making my boy sick, it doesn't make sense. Fathers don't make their children sick. God doesn't make us sick. God doesn't punish us. If my little boy have to grow up and he starts walking and I warn him about the step in my house, and he still goes and falls on his face and he's lying there crying, bleeding, I'm not going to stand there and say, I told you so. I warned you over and over again. I'm going to run to him. I'm going to pick him up, comfort him, wipe his tears away. Hopefully there's no blood, and sort him out. That's a father with his loving his child. Why do we think that God is different? Why do we believe Satan to say that I've warned you about this relationship, I've warned you about this party, I've warned you about this, and you still went along and you made a mistake? Suffer. Suffer. You deserve it. It's a lie from Satan. He's speaking his native language, and this morning we're exposing him. Satan will not have his way again with us here this morning, telling us something about our Father, which is not true. Even if you are sitting here this morning and your earthly father was not the loving, caring person I'm speaking about, even with that in mind, God our Father is the perfect Father. He's the perfect example of love and unconditional love. And after this morning, I believe and I trust that no one will believe Satan again when he comes with this yaf, yaf, yaf in our ears about who Father is and all the lying and defrauding us. And if we fall for that, we are going to suffer the consequences, because God is a loving Father. We can do nothing, and we can do nothing to make God love you less. Honestly. What you did yesterday, last week, last month, 2 years ago, did not make God love you any less. Maybe you disappointed him. Maybe in your own mind you feel that he loves you less. I guarantee you this morning, he does not love you less. If you don't believe me, I'm going to prove it, yeah? The following scripture. Luke 15 from verse 11. Jesus continued. So first of all, we must note that Jesus is telling the story. It's not one of the disciples or Paul or anyone. Jesus is telling the story. There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, Father, give me my share of the estate. So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. Wow. Probably the best love story of grace and forgiveness in the Bible. Jesus is telling a story about a father love his child unconditionally. And I'm going to break it down quickly. In this culture, back in this time, when a child asked the father for his inheritance, before the father actually passed away physically, it actually meant to the child, the father is dead. And then to the father, the son is dead. So there's no more relationship between them. Take your stuff and you leave and it's over. Don't know you anymore. It's tickets. It's gone. And it must have broken this father's heart when his child came to him and said to him, give me my 50% because to me you are dead. I mean, I can't imagine the pain and the heartache this father felt when his child turned his back on him like this to go and party out the money that his father worked for his sons. So the son left, took his inheritance, went and partied. Son didn't plan on the severe famine that fell on this other country where he was. All of a sudden he was in lack, hungry, wanting to eat the pig's pots. Can't be nice, but he was that hungry. He was in a place of complete lost. He was completely lost. So this son sat there, probably between this nice-smelling, stinking pigs, thinking about a game plan. How is he going to fix this situation? So he started off by saying, okay, first of all, I'm going to tell my father I sinned against him and against heaven. That's my first step. I must just tell him that. And I'm going to tell him, I know I'm no longer worthy to be called your son because of what I did, our culture. I'm not your son anymore. That's my second point. And third is my lifeline. I'm going to ask him if he can just make me a hired servant because his servants had enough money and enough food to survive. So he took his, whatever he had on, probably nothing, and he went to his father with his game plan in mind to ask him for forgiveness and to make him a servant. And the scripture tells us here that while he was still a long way off, his father saw him. Now either the father lived on a massive hill with a big house with a view, I don't know, or he was watching out every day, which I like to believe. He was watching out for this dead son of his, the lost son, to come home. He was longing for his son because in this time, his love for his son never grew any less. With that heartache, with that pain, he never loved this son any less. So he saw his son coming towards him. He ran to his son, dirty, stinking, sweaty son. He put his arms around him, he hugged him and he kissed him. And he embraced him in that moment. I think this boy is so shocked now what's happening here. I think he expected the guy with a chain or a rod to give him a proper hiding or of some sort. And the father embraced him, shocked him completely. Now this son must still get his game plan across here. He must tell his father what he wants to say. So he tells him, he says, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son, point number two. And the interesting thing is here in the scripture, after he said, I'm not longer worthy to be called your son, but the father said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe, bring a ring, bring a fattened calf. There's a party happening here. The son of mine was dead in culture, but he's alive again. So either the father just shut this boy up with his hand on his mouth, don't even speak anymore about not worthy of my son or whatever. You are my son, welcome back. Make this party happening, my son's back. That was the kind of attitude. Or he just grabbed him so tight that he couldn't even speak the last part of his game plan. And it was over. Because his father never stopped loving his child. See, the love his father had for his child was stronger and bigger than the culture, the tradition of that time, and the sin that this child sinned. This love of the father was bigger than that. And this story, if Jesus is telling you, is telling us about God, our Father, and us, the child, who sometimes drifts off, who leaves him, turn our back on Father God, and then eventually come back to him. You see, this father didn't stand there with a clipboard with a checklist. Okay, welcome back. Have a seat. From now on, you will wake up at 5 o'clock. You will go and milk the cows. Tick. 3-month probation. If you behave anything like that again, you're out of here. There was nothing like that. There was nothing like that. This father didn't have a probation period or any nonsense like that. He grabbed his son. He says, welcome back, my son. You were dead, but you were alive. You were lost, but you were found. Get the fattened calf. And in the story, there were only two beings or two persons or two things that were unhappy with him returning. The older brother, I'll get to him, and the fattened calf over there, you realized, he's moeilikheid. He's moeilikheid. So you see, I'm not going to read the last part of the story, but the older son heard about this commotion there in the house. He asked what's happening, and the servants told him, your brother came home, your dad is excited, he's going to throw a big party, the fattened calf is going to be slaughtered and like a bride and so on. He was upset. This oldest son was so upset, he was so jealous that he didn't even want to join the party. His father went to him and said, come, join us. He says, no, how could you do this? I've worked all my life for you. I've been like a slave to you. Yet my brother took all the money, he went and he had parties. He came back and you killed the fattened calf. I never even got a goat from you or anything. And the father said to him, but you're my son. Everything I have is yours. But you see, this oldest son's mindset was a mindset of servant-master relationship with his father. And not a father-son relationship. Because if he had that relationship with his father, he would have known that his father loved him unconditionally and everything he owns is his. And his father only wants the best for him because that's a loving father's heart. But he grew, he got religious. He got blinded, and he thought that he had to work for his love. My boy never has to work to earn my love. He never has to work physically in my garden or anywhere to prove himself to me. I love him unconditionally as it is. But this older brother was, mind was messed up. Maybe the devil told him so many lies that he didn't believe his father loved him unconditionally, like the son that came back. Many of us may be sitting here this morning and mindset like that. You know, I must do missions. I must be an usher. I must do worship. I must. You cannot earn God's love. You cannot earn God's love. You cannot receive it. You can just receive it. And maybe you're sitting here thinking, very nice story. It's just too easy. It doesn't make sense. My earthly father would never accept that apology. It's impossible. I want to refer you to the storyteller in this situation. If you think it was too easy, Jesus Christ tells the story. Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins. And there was nothing easy about dying on that cross. Jesus went and he prayed twice to his father. He said, Father, please, if there's any way, may this cup just pass me. May I just not go to the cross and die today or tomorrow. It wasn't easy for him, but he did it so that you and I can be called children of God, so that you and I can have this unconditional love from Father God. When we make mistakes, when we turn our back on Jesus Christ and our Father in heaven, he says, come back, my child, I've missed you. The fattened calf will be slaughtered. We'll have a party in heaven because you were lost and you were dead, but you are now found and you are alive. There's nothing easy about this.